Okay, welcome back, everybody, to our learning at Share. I don't know what day it is. It's even worse than the summer. I'll tell you something very cute. August 30th. I'll tell you something very cute. Someone said, you know those WhatsApp cartoons that people send? So someone sent a very cute one. I'm going to quote it to you. And it shows a lady who's looking like with a confused face at a paper and pen, and she says, summer is over. It's time to officially remember what day of the week it is.
But that's true. Oh, I like that.
Okay, so when I said, I don't know what day it is, it's even worse now. Soon we'll know again. Okay, but you said it's true. It's August 30th. Okay, so we are learning L'Ilui Nishmas, L'Zeichu Nishmas, Miriam Fron, Miriam Baschaim Yitzchak, Allah HaShalom, Nisham Shavaliyah, and the merit of our continuous Torah and our striving to be better over the Hashem. We are on page 69 of the second Sefer, please. Oh, thank you all for coming. When Malki and I were in the beginning, she said, people are away, this, that, but Hashem brings us together. Okay. Let's go back to the bottom of page 68, because last week we didn't open the Sefer, we had a share on the eclipse, and there were some things that I remembered after, of course, that I wanted to tell you that I forgot. We were talking about the power of sight for those who are here. For those who are not, you can go online and listen to Vayu Torah. Talking about the power of sight and that our eyes should be exposed the same way we didn't endanger our eyes to the bare sun. We shouldn't endanger our eyes to sights in Ruchnis we should not see. So just two thoughts that I thought, and one of them is perhaps that's why one of the reasons why we cover our eyes during Shema. Covering your eyes during Shema, when you're makabel ol malchus shemayim, you accept the yoke of heaven, the kingship of God upon yourself during the declaration of Shema. One thing that we do is we cover our eyes. So it's almost like showing, in essence, when we accept the yoke of God, we're acknowledging that our eyes should not be for everybody else. It should be between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam. We should see what Hashem wants us to see. The other thing.
I thought it was so my mind won't wander.
I'm saying it fits with our shear. Right. I'm not saying set in stone, perhaps.
Right.
Fits with our shear. No, I heard something else. So you're saying, since you brought up, your eyes shouldn't wander.
Right.
Like Lahavdel, if it's like a horse, you put on blinders, Lahavdel. But right. I also heard, but it's true, it's a good marshal. The horse needs to go where the master wants it to go.
Right.
That's
right.
Us vis-a-vis the Ribbono Shel Olam. Right. No, but I heard something else, Malki, since you brought it up. Everybody has a unique fingerprint and a unique eye scan. Like now at the border, certain places at the border, they actually scan your eyes to let you through because your eye print is unique and your fingerprint is unique. So you dafka take your fingers, which are unique, and you put it over your eye, which is unique. Every person is a unique Avod Hashem, and a unique servant of God in his quest to fulfill the mitzvos and to accept the yoke of kingship. So three reasons. So the one you said, we shouldn't be distracted. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Shouldn't be distracted by other goings-on. Our eye print and our fingerprint are unique. And the third thing, I'm just tying it in. I'm not saying it's written in stone. A different hashkafic insight that we're acknowledging that when we accept God as king, we remember that our eyes are only for him.
Right.
The other thing I wanted to mention is Vayhi ki yiru hamiyados es halokim velo asuka sher diber aleim paro melech mitzrayim. Doesn't say that the midwives does not listen to Paro because they had a munah. It says they did not listen to Paro because they were God-fearing. And note that the same word, one more thing I really need to tell you, I forgot to say last week, Rav Sham Shemfal Hirsch points out that the word for sight is in Hebrew is the same as the word for Yerushamayim. Lo Yare Elokim, this week's Parsha Amalek. What does Lo Yare Elokim mean? They didn't fear God or they didn't see God? Both. So what an unbelievable conclusion to last week's shir. You have to see God in order to fear, which is really what we spoke about last week. So those are just the PSs. Okay, if you didn't hear, go online and listen. Okay, page 68, bottom. Does anyone want to say anything on that? I want to move on. But you could if you have a question or comment. Okay. Once you realize your heart understands at the level of a small child, you will discover a new world to be studied. Bottom page 68, second Sefer. When you were a child, your parents and teachers taught you step by step until you reached your current intellectual level. It's true, your parents and teachers taught us everything step by step until you reach your level. You think of math, you can't learn algebra if you don't know that 2 plus 2 equals 4. And you can't learn algebra if you don't know what 4 divided by 2 is. It goes step by step. Now you have a new task. You have within, so to speak, a new child to teach. And that new child is who? Yourself. Your heart is your child. You have to teach it as one teaches a small child. In other words, you must begin by teaching yourself in the same manner you were taught when you were young and uneducated. So we think we want to be at the final leap. We want to have absolute amuna. We want to have perfect faith. Always know everything is from Hashem, but we have to understand that we're like a child. A child can't go to algebra and trigonometry. A child has to start at mathematics, at the basics of mathematics. What are the basics? What's 2 plus 2? If a child doesn't know negative 2 yet, you start with 0 and you go from 0 to 10. Learn some things in this number. That's who we are. Welcome. Certainly, a man's main task is to learn Torah. But together with this, he must cause the simplest and most basic truths to penetrate into his heart that speak to the child within. There is a creator to the world. So I remember 2 weeks ago when we concluded, I said I wanted to quote something from Rav Soloveitchik. It's something that we quoted, I think, last year. It might have been even longer than last year, but when we talk about awakening the child within, it is a relevant insight to quote once again. In English, some of you may remember, tell me if you do, I'll be very happy. In English, in the English language, the word faith, amuna, is profaned when applied to man. For instance, it is improper to say, I have faith in you. You can't say to another human being, I have faith in you. You remember? I'm a strictly, so can we go over it again?
Yeah.
That's a good endorsement. From a strictly philosophical and philological viewpoint, no one can have faith in another man. It is blasphemy. Blasphemy?
Yeah. Yeah.
To say, I have faith in man. You can have confidence, not faith. To have faith means the deification of man. This is sacrilegious, and it's an expression that we use all the time. I have faith in you. Have faith in me. You can say, I have confidence in you, but really, there's only one you can have faith in, and who is that? I'm the one who began with cover your eyes and accept his sovereignty upon yourself. Why? Because, says the Rav, and this is good to remind ourselves of the definition of Amunah. Faith means an absolute act which results in complete reliance without reservation, condition, or qualification. If you say you have faith in another human being, it means you have complete reliance on them, that everything will absolutely work out without reservation, condition, or qualification. Faith means complete trust. The person who I have faith in will never betray me. Never, 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 exclamation mark. You can only have faith in who? In the man. Right now, there were like three things this week that I was davening for. There were more than three things I was davening for. But three things in particular, extra things, you know, the like extra things. One, in the grand scheme of life, was minor. We moved into our house 2 weeks ago. I haven't had a washing machine for 2 weeks. They didn't fit down to the basement. So my brother said to me, it's okay. It's all complicated. We couldn't fit a new machine. Nothing fit downstairs. So for 2 weeks, I didn't have a new machine. In 2 weeks, I only cried once. I forgot to cry that Hashem should even rebuild the Beis Hamikdash while I was crying about the washing machine. So even when I davened, I said, I know Hashem, there are much bigger things that we need taken care of. But I do need a washer. Dryer. Chaste Hashem Olam Ashira. They're in the basement. My husband had an epiphany Sunday morning. Maybe Mark Solomon from A1 could take them apart somehow. Take off the backs, take off the doors, take off some of the frame. He came Sunday morning. The movers came back this morning. Mark Solomon came back this afternoon. Hodu Hashem Kitov. Okay, and you should know when the movers came, I made into a voice Hashem, not made it like a trick. I really tried to have the right kavana. It's okay, Hashem, please help these get downstairs. The Gemara says it's Talmud Chacham who goes out with a stain on his jacket is Chayv Misa. So the Chavetz Chaim said that to his son-in-law because his son-in-law was going with a stain. So his son-in-law said to his father-in-law, the Chavetz Chaim Zatzah, I'm not such a Talmud Chacham. So his father-in-law said, for Chil Hashem, you're enough of a Talmud Chacham. So they made it downstairs. That's one thing I was dying for. Another thing is a real inyan, and it's significant. We could live without it, but it's very significant. And the third thing was almost like a matter of life or death. Not almost. We weren't sure. Okay. So three things I was dying for. So two of the things worked out already. Baruch Hashem. Matter of life or death has been resolved. The machines are the basement. The other thing still, it's not resolved. But Amunah means that I have reservation, without condition, without qualification. I don't have faith in the men or women that I'm contacting with to try and help me with this inyan. It means I have confidence that maybe they will try and help me, maybe they won't try and help me, but faith means only who could get it done. Hashem, and I said to one of the people, even if the cards are 99.999% stacked against us, Hashem doesn't go with statistics. That could be. That's faith. So you can't say to another person, I have faith in you. Yes.
No, that's one of my favorite lines. I had a grandchild who was very not well, and I always would say, and you know, you hear what they say, and it's terrifying. And I used to say about my grandson is not a statistic. And Baruch Hashem, you know, he's good, and right. You know,
it's true.
But I'm just saying, I find that I use it so often in, let's say, family members that were diagnosed with something or whatever it is, you know, you have to do whatever, you have to do whatever your hishtadlus, you have to do whatever you could do, but...
But you know that the end of the hishtadlus is up to Hashem.
You don't want to hear that, oh, the prognosis is so bad or whatever it is. Every person has their mazel. And you do what you can.
Rashi says, we say to Hashem, we did our part, you do your part. And it's up. And this third thing that we're working on, really the cards are very much against us. And it's, I can't go into any detail, but it's something Lamai said that I should not even be having an union with, whatever. We are. We're doing maximum shtadlus, and then it's up to Ribono Shel Olam. I can only have confidence in fellow man. I can have confidence that you're going to try and help me. But it, to have faith in people means the deification of man. It is sacrilegious. Yes.
But a mood also is that if it doesn't work out the way that you would daven for, that you still accept it and embrace it and know that
that's
the
reason that was
and
your...
That's the hard part. The easy part, I think, is the davening for a good outcome.
And when
the hard part is...
One second. It's not so easy to daven for when it's not working out. You said the easy part is to daven for it. I just want to clarify something there. It's not so easy to daven when you see that it really seems to not be working out. And yet you keep davening. That's the last pasuk.
Until something's a done deal, you still have a little...
A glimmer of hope.
Chance.
Yeah, you're right.
And then accepting the, you know...
You're right.
Even if it was your muscle that this is supposed to happen to you, sometimes Hashem turns everything all around.
Well, you can't. It's too
late. Yes, but you're right. That sometimes it doesn't work out how we want. Yes. That's his very next paragraph. The very next words of the Rav are, listen, ladies, faith in God... Okay, so that's the first part we just spoke about. Then listen to his next words. Faith in God also requires something else of us. By the way, it is good we're reviewing this because none of these are us we spoke about the first time around. Faith in God requires that the faithful suspend judgment from time to time. That's exactly what we just said.
Yeah.
It is not only the surrender of the body, but of the mind. Emunah, faith, confronts man with the challenge to suspend his intuitive judgment, to act irrationally, to act illogically. What's irrational? What's illogical? God, I still believe in you, even though I daven, and it seemed to be totally pashut. This should work out. And according to all rationale and human logic, it's not fair, and it didn't work out. Faith, Emunah confronts man with a challenge, and that is to suspend your judgment. It is to act irrationally and illogically. At times, man must act in a certain fashion, even though he does not understand why he is required to conduct himself in such a manner. I still have to believe in the Ribono Shel Olam, even though he said, Kachnas Pinchas Yechircha Asher Avdas Yitzchak Valeu Sham Le'Olam. We're coming up to Rosh Hashanah. We're going to read it on Rosh Hashanah. I have to believe in the Ribono Shel Olam, even though he says to me, take your son, the one you love, Yitzchak, and bring him as a korban. Makes sense. Faith confronts man with the challenge to suspend his judgment. And then this is why we spoke about it last time, and this is why I brought it up again. Because with the Mechaber, at this point, the author says, speak to the child. You're a child. You're learning 2 plus 2. You think you're in algebra. You think you're in trigonometry. You think you're in geometry. You're learning from 0 to 10 and how to add and how to subtract. So what does the Rav call us? Only a man child. Remember this? Man hyphen child can surrender and suspend his judgment. And that's who we become when it comes to absolute faith in the Ribono Shel Olam. Why? I remember observing a little boy who had almost unlimited faith in his mother. Whenever he asked a question, he would say, whenever he was asked a question, his response would be, what did mommy say? Though he was a very capable child, he was a very intelligent child, he was to suspend his judgment because he had unlimited trust and his mother. This is exactly the way an adult should act in his relationship with God. However, an adult, says the Rav, is not capable of such behavior. So now we come to a stira, we come to a contradiction. I'm this age, and I'm clearly an adult, but an adult can't have such faith. An adult questions, an adult says, I want to understand. An adult says, my prayers didn't work. An adult says, what do you think you're doing? An adult says, you know, by rationale and reason, it shouldn't be this way. Who can do this? Only a child. And that's exactly what the Mechaber is saying here. You have within, so to speak, a new child to teach. The child within your heart. Says the Rav, only a child. So the adult has to rise and wake up the child within. What does the Rambam say about shofar? What does the Rambam say? The Rambam says that shofar is... I was going to read at the end of class, but I guess I'll just read it now. What do you want to do
now
or later?
I'll just read it now. By the way, do you
want
my tea? You don't have one.
No, thank you. Very nice. This could miss us. But I once made that mistake, and instead of taking water at the beginning of the year, I took tea, and it was very bad because I get hot.
Okay.
So then it's going to make me worse, but I appreciate tiskul mitzvahs. The shofar is saying, Uru, yeshenim mishna seichem. Wake up, you that slumbers from your sleep. Vinyar damim, and those who are in a deep sleep, hakitu mitir dimeschem. Wake up from your deep sleep. That's the shofar saying, wake up. What does the adult have to do? Wake up the child within. He must have this child perform on his behalf an act of total faith. The adult must say to the child, I will join you. It is only the child within who can have this absolute faith. And that's exactly what the Mechaber is saying. You have to begin to teach yourself like you teach a small child. What do you teach a small child? There's a creator to the world, and the creator runs in a certain way. Maybe it doesn't work out how we want, and maybe it doesn't work out how we daven. And sometimes it does, and sometimes it doesn't, but you can't give up. And that's why faith requires, says Rav Soloveitchik, that men act illogically and irrationally, and from time to time suspend judgment. You look like you want to say something.
Yeah, no, it's funny. We don't really remember that much bringing them up. I don't remember that many stories, but you triggered a story. When the children were little, like my husband is God, Abba knows how to do it. Just ask Abba.
I'm going to what?
Everything. Abba knows how to do everything. Ma, don't worry. Abba knows everything. There isn't anything that Abba... And that's how it... So Abba comes home and he goes, I don't really know how to do this. You don't know how to do that? No, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everything, Shefala. Who's he? Well, he's, you know, and that triggered an entire conversation. They were in shock. There was nothing that Mike didn't know, whether it was math or whether it was putting a toy together. He was.
It's very interesting because I heard Rabbi.
I remember their shock.
I was listening to a shir by Rabbi Penner the other week online. Rabbi Penner shir from, I don't remember, a few years ago, I think it was a Shabbos. It wasn't Shabbos Shuva. It was a Seres Yimei Teshuva lecture from a few years ago. And that's one of the things that we're speaking about, that our reliance on God. He said, a young child, you ask them what they want to be when they grow up. So when they're very little, they say, I want to be a firefighter. He says, children go through predictable stages. Then maybe they say, I want to be a sports player. And then when they get a little bit older, but not so old so they really know what's going on, they inevitably say, I want to be like daddy. I want to be like their father because they perceive. Because they perceive that their father can do everything. He's all encompassing, and that's how it should be with us vis-a-vis the Rosh. Not that I want to be father, Chas v'Shalom, but you want to have that point of relationship where you feel like that child, who absolutely relies on a Avinu aspect of the Rosh Hashanah. Okay. Page 69. Water grinds the rock through constant effort. This example will help. A man has a small child. He wants to teach him the fundamentals of faith. So we're continuing with the small child and the fundamentals of faith. So here we are, the child within an emunah. When the boy turns 3, the father calls him into his room and he says, I have important information to tell you, something you must remember your entire life. The child's only 3 years old. What is it, says the boy? There is a creator. You have to know this. He created everything. This is the important information I wanted to pass on to you. I will not mention it again. One time you're going to hear there's a creator, that's it. Don't forget. A 3-year-old boy cannot grasp such lofty ideals. His level of his discernment is extremely low. After a day or two, it's even funny that he says a day or two, maybe a day or two, certainly after a month or two, if the father does not mention that there's a creator, what will happen? Son's going to forget they ever had this conversation. First of all, what's going to happen? What is the nimshah that we can draw between ourselves and ourselves? That if there's an inner child within, if we're not constantly speaking to our inner child about emunah, that what happens? Chas v'shalom. We become in a dangerous place. You forget that Hashem is part of you. If you're not connected, if you don't maintain that kesher, if you don't talk to yourself, and it's easy to forget. You get caught up with everything else that's going on. In fact, it is almost certain he will become a total heretic. So as Mechaber is saying, you need to review it. It's not enough for the father to tell to him one time. He needs to tell him over and over and over. So I'm going to quote the Gemara. And Sechel Seruvin. Mandalah. Okay. So it is very important. And it's one thing I think that the Mechaber reiterates, the author of our Sefer reiterates over and over, and that is the importance of review. Why? Because he tends to say the same thing
over and over
in different words. You could read the whole Sefer and you could get to this page and you could say, he told me this 20 times. Well, obviously it's deliberate that he told me this 20 times, and there's a reason, because he's reviewing with the child within 20 times. Why do you take notes when we go to college? Why do I take notes in high school? Why do I take notes in elementary school? I have to go home and review. You learned it one time, then you get up to the exam. What's going to happen to the exam if you heard the teacher say one time, and 3 months later you try and take a test? Unless you have a photographic memory and you read through the book, you're not going to do very well. So, the Gemara says, Ketzad Seder Mishnah. What was the procedure for teaching the oral law? Mishnah represents the oral law. It means the oral law. Moshe Laman Bipi HaGvura. Who did Moshe learn from? Hashem himself. Nichnas Aaron Vishanalo Moshe Pirko. Aaron came in and Moshe taught? Aaron. Nistalik Aaron V'yashav L'smo Moshe. Aaron moves away and he sits to Moshe's left. Nichnasu Banav. Aaron's sons come in, Vishanalah and Moshe, Pirkan, and Moshe teaches the son. So Moshe heard it once from Hashem. Then Moshe teaches it to Aaron. Then Aaron heard it once, now his sons come in, and Aaron hears it another time. By the way, not only, I just thought of something, even when I prepared it, didn't occur to me, but that is as follows. Not only is it important for the child to hear the review, it's important for the parent or teacher to have the review as well. You're not just reviewing it for the sake of the child. You're reviewing it for your own sake.
I know it better from teaching my kids than I ever knew it from school. Oh my God, over and over, every year, the same Rashi's. I feel like I even know where it is.
You see why? Because you need to do so. It brings up another added important hara. We're not only reviewing for the child, we're reviewing for the adult as well. Okay, so the sons come in and Moshe teaches them. Nistal Kubanov, the sons of Aaron move, Elazar Yashav Liyamin Moshe, so you have a dais. You have Elazar, Moshe, Aaron to his left, Itamar, the small Aaron, you have Itamar. So Moshe has learned it from Hashem. He taught it to Aaron once, Aaron learned it once, Aaron heard it again the second times. Rabbi Yehuda, okay. Nichnesu Zikanim, Vishanalem Moshe Pirkon. Who comes in now? The elders come in, and Moshe teaches them. Aaron heard it to himself, he heard it to his sons, he now hears it too. There's a Canaan, that's right. Nistalku is a Canaan, the elders move aside. Nichnesu kol ha'am. Everybody comes in. Vishanalah and Moshe Pirkan. And Moshe now teaches everybody. So Aaron has heard it.
Four times.
Four, very good. That's exactly what the Gemara is going to conclude. From here you learn, a person should learn. That's exactly what the Gemara's conclusion is, okay? Very nice. Nimtu biyad Aaron arba. That's the next line of the Gemara. You find that Aaron learns it four times. Once from Moshe, once from Moshe to his sons, once from Moshe to his Canaan, once from Moshe to Kol Ha'am. Aaron learns it four times. Biyad banav, the sons learned it three times. Biyad his Canaan shnaim, ubiyad Kol Ha'am achad. But then, so the nation only heard it once. So now what are you going to do? But you aren't heard of four. That's not enough once. Nistalik Moshe. So Moshe leaves. Vishana Lahan Aaron Pirko. Aaron reteaches. So the people who heard it once now hear it twice. And the sons who heard it... We need a math chart. Ha ha, talking about math. The sons who heard it thrice now hear it a fourth time. Nistalik Aaron, Shanulahem Banav Pirkan. Aaron leaves, he's heard it his four times. He teaches the people. So now they're up to three times. They heard it from Moshe, they heard it from Aaron, they heard it from the sons. The sons leave. The Zakanim teach. Nimta Biyad Hakol Arba. Everybody heard it multiple times. There's no such thing as saying, thank you very much. Ha, what happens? Also, what happens when you hear it again? We did that passage of the Rav for sure a year ago, maybe more. What happens when you do it again? First of all, it becomes part of you, but also I was going to say something else, and that's very important. I find this, if I repeat a story in class, or an insight in class, or a perush in class, every single time we relearn it, there are new, there's something different, and there's something new. It's never the same. It's never the same. So of course you have to repeat it, because there are shivim panim l'Torah. There are 70 faces to Torah. It's not one level of Torah. If you don't review, not only won't you remember, which you for sure will not remember, but you lose the access to the deep secrets embedded within that you didn't learn the first time around. One second, I'm going to take your comment in 1 second. Therefore, let me just finish this piece. Mikan Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Chayav Adam Lishnos L'Talmido Arba Pa'amim. A man must teach his Talmud, a man must teach his son, a man must teach his child four times. Kal V'chomer, Mam Aaron Shalaman Mipi Moshe, Moshe Mipi HaGvura. They had to learn it four times, but they were getting it directly from who? Ribbono Shel Olam. Kach hedyo mipi hedyo. All the more so, how do they translate hedyo? An ordinary person who learns from an ordinary person, al achas kama v'kama. Four times isn't enough. Aaron got from Moshe, who got it directly from Hashem. There wasn't all those doros that you read as a doros. Okay. Yes, then I'm going to tell you something else.
I just thought of two things. First of all, when I was in high school, I had this list to have Rabbi Moshe Whiteman, Torah Sefer Derech Hashem, for a semester. We maybe learned two paragraphs the entire semester. Maybe.
Wow.
But every single time he walked in, he reviewed. Let's review now from the beginning. Why did Hashem create
the world? Wow.
But I can repeat to you what he said every time, because every time he reviewed it. And also, I just thought, isn't there a story in Gemara, somebody who needed, who taught 400 times?
So, hold your comment, because I said, then I'm going to tell you something else. Okay, so on the same page of the Gemara, okay, we're still on Daf Nun Daled. Okay. Rabbi Preda, Hava Lei Hahu Talmida. Rabbi Preda had a certain Talmud. Da Hava Tanele, he would teach him Arba Me'a, 400 times Zimine. He would teach him 400 times before he understood. 400 times. So you think 4 times is a lot? And you think 50 times is a lot? 400 times. Yom Echad, what does Yom Echad mean?
One day.
Yom Echad, what?
One day.
Yuha Limelisa Zarmeg de Mitzvah. Rabbi Preda told his Talmud, I have to leave to involve myself in a certain mitzvah. So the way with this Talmud is, how many times does the Talmud get taught the same thing? 400 times. But he told his Talmud he has to leave to do a certain mitzvah. So Tanadeh, he taught the student the usual 400 times below Gamar, but the student's not coming to the conclusion. Even though after 400 times the student usually learns, this time 400 times he's not getting it. Amar Leis, Rabbi Preda said to him, Ha'adina Ma'ishana, what's going on? What's different today? Manishtana Ha'layla Hazar? Why is it today different? Amar Leis, so the student said, what do you think is different?
I'm distracted. That's what the student's problem is.
But who's distracted?
The student.
Exactly. Why is the student distracted?
He's thinking about that Rabbi's leaving soon to go to a mitzvah.
You know the Gemara? You're beautiful. Beautiful. What did he say?
I'm just thinking about me.
Beautiful. Look how astute Chazal are. Look how brilliant Chazal are. Midaha, you're also smart, Shani. Midaha hisha'ata. From the hour you told me, da'amru le'lam, from the hour that Master said, ika melisa de mitzvah, I have to go do a mitzvah. Ischai le'da'ate, my mind was diverted, distracted. V'chol sha'ata imina. Every moment I said to myself, hashta, what is hashta ba'gala? Now, ka'aymar, hashta ka'aymar. Now the master's going to get to leave. So every time he retarded, he thought, well, I'm not going to get to 400. After the 125th time, the Talmud said, there's no going to be 126 because he's going to get to leave. After 127, he said, he's going to get to leave. I keep thinking to myself, my teacher's going to leave. So Rabbi Preda said, Hav da'ateich, pay attention with your das, va'asni leich, I will teach you. And Rabbi Preda taught him another 400 times. Hadar tanalei arba me'a zemine, achrine. He taught him 400 more times.
It's 525.
What?
No, that's 800.
800. Oh, 400.
You were at 126. Wow, I don't know how you do your math. Wow.
We had 126.
No,
he did it all over again.
You say, but when the Rebbe got to 125, it's like, oh, he's gonna leave.
I was just
126. He's gonna leave.
She
counted another 400 from 126 or
126. Oh no! He taught him 400 times. Talmud didn't get it. The Rabbi paid the time 400 more times. A bas kol came out. Nafka bas kala. It's Arabic. A bas kol comes out. Va'amrele. And says to Rabbi Preda. Look how geschmack what he did is. Nichalech. What do you prefer? Delis pulach arba mea shene. Do you want to live for 400 years as a merit for what you tell it 400 times? Oh, disizku at vidarach la'alma de'ase. Or do you want you and your generation to merit the world to come? Rabbi Preda said, I want mine and my generation to merit life in the world to come. And Hashem said, tnu lazo vizo. Give him both. Add him the years to his life, and his generation should merit life in the world to come, for the first 400 times, for the second 400 times, and for the tremendous amount of unfathomable patience that is required to teach and reteach 400 times. How do we feel if somebody asks us a question again? Okay, one time, fine, you ask them again. The second time, how do you feel if somebody asks you a question again? Like, I told you, you asked me twice. And then they ask you fifth time. You asked me four times already. I just told you the answer.
We do that with our kids all the time.
It's unbelievable. And that's not only have to be with other people, but the truth is that it ends up benefiting
ourselves
as well. The child within ourselves and the intellect within ourselves. Every time you go over the material, like you said with your grandchildren, every time you go over the material, every time you repeat the material, you're not only reintroducing the material, I'm actually using the word introducing because every time it's like new, but you're not only reintroducing for the sake of the student, the child, the Talmud, the grandchild, the Talmud, it's for yourself. So if you tell that child when he's 3 years old, you should know there's a creator, don't forget. Okay, so after 5 minutes, he says a day or two. 5 minutes, a three-year-old doesn't know. The father might, page 69. The father might, bottom, all the way in the bottom. The father might come and cry bitterly. What happens? The son's going to forget. If you don't review, the son's going to forget. The father might come and cry bitterly. I told my son there's a creator. I warned him I would not be repeating it. This is nonsense. And I just saw something now as well. I didn't think of what I was preparing. Isn't that true? Can we say that of ourselves? If we don't review something enough times, so you nichshal, you could fail in it. Even if you do review something enough times, you could still be nichshal in it, but you at least have to try to fortify yourself. So you could say about yourself, but I knew, I tried, how could I have come to this point? Maybe you weren't marbits in it enough. Maybe you didn't learn it enough. Maybe you didn't strengthen yourself in it enough times. This is nonsense. The child does not have the capacity to appreciate the severity of the father's warning. It means nothing to a three-year-old. If one wants to work with his son properly, there are many opportunities to do so, such as when they walk on the street and it's raining. You should say, who makes the rain come down? The first thing, the first time we encounter tefillah in the Torah, Bereishis 2:5, v'chasiyah chasada terem yeh ba'aratz, the greenery and the herbage had not yet sprouted in the field, and Rashi famously tells us there was no rain. Why was there no rain, says Rashi? Because there was no Adam lahakir tovason shel gushamim. There was no rain because there was no man to recognize the goodness of the Lord. So there's no rain. Ba Adam came, umakir tovason shel gushamim, vihispalal aleihem. Adam comes, the first instance of tefillah in the Torah is in regard to the need for rain. So when you're walking with rain, we shouldn't say, ach, it's raining, I'm getting so wet, I'm wearing the wrong shoes, I just had my shaita washed, I forgot my rain jacket, there's so many big puddles. I'm not talking about the case like Rahman, it's on those poor people in Houston. I'm talking about in a normal situation. You should say to your son, thank God it's raining. Baruch Hashem, I'm getting wet. I'm going to melt? I'm not going to melt. Okay, so my shoes are going to get wet. My shaita has to be washed. Baruch Hashem, who makes the rain come down? Nesati mitar artzichem be'ito, yore umalko, shvitavin every day for rain. And when it comes down, I'm complaining. So it's a learning opportunity. You should say to your son, who makes the rain come down? Though the boy will answer, I don't know, could you tell me? Then the father should say, it's the master of the world. You don't tell him one time, you don't tell yourself one time, you don't tell your Talmud one time. Over and over. And by the way, no matter how old you are, if you're 3 or if you're 41, every time it rains, you have to do this. Why? Because otherwise I'm going to forget. You know what I'm going to say the next time it rains? This is so annoying to be out in the rain. I'm all wet. Every time it rains, you have to remind yourself. Who makes the rain come down? The master of the world. Hashem is so good to us. He gives us rain so all the plants will go. It's not only to the child, it's to myself. Every single time it rains. The reiteration, 400 times. And if you didn't get it, another 400 times. In this way, he should teach the principle time and time again until the amunah that is embodied in it, in his comments, is instilled within the child's soul. Not take it for granted that your child will grow up and learn this important lesson, whether on his own or from his teachers. He's not only talking about your child, he's also talking about, keep in mind, what was the introduction to this section? Who else are we talking about? The child where? Within yourself. Mm-hmm. And we know that from our strivings in our Avodas Hashem. My child within is not going to learn and grow up from this important lesson just on my own. It has to be implanted from the time that the child within is from 2+2. If a child does not breathe in Amunah, in the atmosphere of his home, look at this, and learn to live it, even if he knows the information. You could know it in your mind, but you have to bring it down to the level of reality in your heart. It will remain far from him. His faith, chas v'shalom, will be weak. You look like you want to say something.
You know, I don't know. I mean, this is maybe slightly tangential, but my lifelong lesson has been patience. Because for me, I always... I just get very bratty, and I'm like, no, I want it yesterday. And I get whiny and obnoxious. And finally, at the age that I am, I'm like, you know what? It's not happening yesterday. You got to be a little patient.
And that's what happens with age. With age comes wisdom, and we get more patient.
Very nice. It comes with also a lot of hard work.
Well, it's part of our whole bodies are slowing down, and so we are not in that crushed rush anymore. I don't have kids to get out, so because things slow down and my mind has time to accept things, I've learned that it's going to get done. Okay.
Is that what you're saying?
It's going to get done,
and everything. In a way,
I have a lot more patience.
Okay.
In a way.
I could totally relate to these comments because I mentioned we just moved and it's only been 2 weeks. I want the house to be totally unpacked. I want all the light fixtures fixed. I want the leaking faucet fixed now. The contractor slash handy. What?
You have to be bewitched and twitch your nose.
Say it again.
Bewitched. There was a program called Bewitched, and she was Samantha, and she would twist her nose, and everything.
Oh, that's. I wish that was me. I want it all done now. The contractor slash handyman. He's not really handyman. A little more. Who has to do a number of things for us? He's away till after Labor Day. I said to my husband, "Who takes vacation? I need him to come, and I want everything done right away." It's very hard. But, so this is also something I need to go over again and again and again. I need to review again and again and again. It doesn't help to say one time. You need to be a patient person, over and over. Do not.
The story of my life. That's the story of my life. From the time, like, I don't even know. I remember a time when I was patient, and
it's a different mida. Everyone has different midos, but.
We all have work on being patient,
right? Well.
Some
people, it comes more naturally. Yeah.
Listen, I want to tell you something about patience. I don't know if I said in the Shia. I don't think I said it. I spoke at Camp Kaylee. It was very interesting, actually. One of the things they wanted me to speak about, it's an inclusion camp. And they wanted me to speak on living with a disability, and not only living with a disability, but being a successful person with a disability. It was very, very interesting. I think I should prepare this year with my Torah to present it to adults. It was very interesting about receiving Baruch Hashem. But one of the main things, the first component I told them, is that you need patience. I'm specifically talking about, not unpacking my boxes, talking about living with a disability. I said, not only do people need patience for you, but you need patience for yourself. But one of the things I pointed out, that the Hebrew word for patient is savlanut, or savlanus. Mm-hmm. Savlanut is the same root word as lisbal, or sovel. Sovel means to carry, but it doesn't even mean to carry. It means to bear a heavy burden. It means to work really hard at carrying something. The same root word for patience is the same root word for bearing a heavy burden. It's much more than carrying. It's like working hard. You're tired. You're really carrying something very heavy. What does that tell you about being patient? It's really hard. It's really heavy. It's something heavy you need to carry. It is not easy to be patient. Lisbal is savlanut. Savlanut is lisbal, to be patient. Excuse me, is to carry heavy burden. And if there's anything we need patience for, it's our avodas Hashem. If there's anything we need patience, no matter what age we are, no matter how hard we've tried, all of us are going to clap al chait in a few weeks' time. What does that mean? That this year, Rav Salvechik says, Chatasi does not mean I sin, it means I failed. That's what the Rav says. Chait, is not a sin, it means a failure. And the Rav says, if a person is malamid tzchus upon himself when he's confessing, if he gives himself the benefit of the doubt, that's not a confession. And he says, Rav says, that's worthless. If you're standing there being malamei tzchus while you're saying, achet shechatan v'necha b'lashon hara, achet shechatan v'necha b'lashon b'zil z'horim u'morim, achet shechatan v'necha b'machal v'mishtah. While you're saying, me'ele ribo shalom, it was hard for me, says the Rav. And I had excuses, and there were extenuating circumstances, so please forgive me. No, pashut, I sinned, I'm wrong, I failed. I need so much patience. Every year since my bas mitzvah, I'm chayiv in these, and every year, I'm still sinning, and I'm still copying achet. So what do you need patience for? Your child within. So with that, I'm going to end with an insight of Rav Biederman. Perfect place. So see, it's good I didn't say it before. It's a perfect place to finish with it, based on our conversation, our learning, not our conversation. it's also a conversation, sicha. In this week's parsha, when it discusses the mitzvah of anointing a king, sorry, this is be the mitzvah of shoftim. I shouldn't have started like that. In parsha shoftim, the Torah uses a double expression when it says, anoint for yourself a king. Som tasim alach melech. Som tasim. Why does it just say, som alach melech? Put for yourself a king. Why do you need put for yourself a king? So the tzaddikim say this is a deep illusion in this pasuk. What is Som Tasim Alach HaMelech? Who's it talking about? Melech Malachim Lachim. You as its individual. Not Aleichem Melech in the plural. Not the whole nation has to appoint a king. It's talking to every person. You as an individual have to appoint a king. So the tzaddikim say, who's the king we have to appoint? The king of all kings, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have to crown God king. So why a double lashon? Because even if at times you fall, Som Tasim, you put him on yourself as the king once and it didn't work out. Tasim, don't give up. Anoint him king all over again. The Rambam writes, Tzkiyah Shofar and Rosh Hashanah is a Gzeiras HaKasuv. It's a law. What does it mean? Why do we blow shofar? Yom Trua, Yalachem, because the Torah says you should blow shofar. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa. Nevertheless, there's a hint. The shofar's hint is what I quoted in the beginning of class. Wake up from your sleep. You that are in a deep sleep, arise from your slumber. However, Rabbi Biederman says there's an old handwritten version of the Rambam. And instead of using the word uru yushenim, wake up, you that sleep, it says uru, uru yushenim. Wake up, you that sleep. It uses the word wake up two times in an old handwritten manuscript of the Rambam, Maimonides. Instead of saying wake up from your sleep, it says wake up from your sleep. Why wake up two times? One should rouse himself, says Rabbi Biederman, again and again. And boy, does this relate to patience. And I'm not saying we should go in with patience saying, I know I'm going to sin and then I'm going to do teshuva. That's not the intention here. Obviously, you need to try as best as possible. But if after resolving, you forget your resolve, the child forgets, rouse yourself again. Furthermore, uru, uru implies one should wake up and stay awake. It shouldn't be like Paro, vayishan vayachalom sheni. So what happens after Paro's first dream? As the pasuk says, he goes to sleep and he dreams again. What happens to Paro? He wakes up, he's a dream, he goes to sleep all over again. No, no, uru, uru. Wake up. This is the time to change your ways. And then he gives a mashal. Someone asked his friend to awaken him early in the morning at the designated time. The friend tried to wake him. This, if you ever try and wake up children, you understand that the friend tried to wake him. It's not working. He even poured water. It didn't help. So the friend finally awoke. So he says, why didn't you wake me up? I told you to wake me up at the designated time. I did wake you up. I even poured water on you. Oh yeah, I remember. I dreamt that someone was pouring water on me. So what's the mashal and the nimshal? This is the mashal. What's the nimshal? That's the parable. What's the moral or the lesson? A person can dream that he's waking up, but he can still be sleeping. The Rambam, Maimonides, says, uru, uru, wake up, wake up. The shofar is your call. Really wake up and do teshuvah. So isn't it true that sometimes you could be awake, but you could be asleep?
You do things by rote. You're not really putting your whole self into it. So,
when there's a big storm on the boat, what does Yonah do? He goes to sleep. And the sailors come down and they're frantic. And what do they say to him? Wake up, you that sleeps. Appeal to your God. Maybe you can save us. And this is really the message of Elul, and it's the message of our whole lives is Ovdei Hashem, and it's a message of Rosh Hashanah, and it's the message of Shofar. Uru, uru, Yishenim. We have to wake up from our sleep. Each and every one of us has to appoint Ribbono Shel as king. But why Som Tasim? Because we're not going to get it right maybe the first time, and maybe we're not going to get it right the second time, and maybe the 396th time, I'm still not going to know the lesson. But don't give up. It's Torah and I need to learn. And that is the patience that's required for the children around us, i.e. the people all around us, not only the children, the people that we require patience for, and ultimately the child within. Okay, questions or comments? Okay, so Be'ezus Hashem, everyone should have a wonderful, successful, patient-filled week, and a healthy week, and a good Shabbos. Thank you, ladies.